This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson is a political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and he joins us in studio every Monday for a politics conversation. And this is what a wonderful day to have a political discussion following last week's unbelievable everything political. And Virginia was in an international spotlight.
Virginia was in the spotlight, and by our race being decided last, I guess the Senate tipping, it was very exciting to be part of it, to watch it unfold. It was extremely close. You know, neither side won Virginia by a great margin. The Republicans held on to their eight House seats quite handily in most cases. George Allen lost, but he lost by 9,000 votes out of more than 2.3 million cast. So this was not a, you know, giant break from the past. This was a cyclical election, and I think it reflected President Bush and the war more than anything else.
Yeah, and it is what we would expect at 6 years for a second-term president. This is traditionally what we usually see. And we also usually see the Congress sort of flipping every 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, and you know, there are these cycles for a reason. Parties get in power, they overreach. The Republicans, with 6 years of power in Washington on both sides, have done very little reaching out. You know, they really did not reach out and govern from the middle, as some of them had said they might.
Right, right. It was really, and what's interesting now is to see the Republicans almost run against their own party and say, you know, my party betrayed you, it betrayed conservative principles.
Conservatives are mad, and I don't blame them. I mean, they expected a conservative government, and they got one that wasn't.
Right, right. What did they get? What was it? Just governing from the very far right?
No. I don't think the far right controls everything. I think that's a factor in elections and in nominations in particular. But a governing from the ability to allow certain economic and other interests in to write the legislation, giving big business certain things that perhaps the other party wouldn't have given big business. You know, each party has its constituent groups, and the constituent groups in the Republican Party were allowed to earmark the heck out of things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. An unprecedented extent there, and hopefully they can get control of that. I'm actually a fan of folks putting their names on these earmarks so we know who's responsible for
it. We have to. The whole earmark system is just, you know, wrong.
Right, right. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress is our guest. My mind is skipping here because I have a million directions we could go at one time here. But why don't we start with the column, your column yesterday in the Daily Progress, which sort of recapped George Allen's campaign career, all the way back to his very first election. And you've been watching him ever since.
Well, I've had the pleasure of covering George for 27 years of elections, and George has been a very, as I said in the column, uniting figure, mostly among Republicans. He never really reached out to Democrats, and he didn't have to in most cases because first when he won in the House of Delegates, he had a Republican district, a Republican-leaning district. Albemarle was more Republican back then, and he had Nelson thrown in with Albemarle when he was first elected. But he was someone who united the Republican Party of Virginia. The Republican Party of Virginia is not a monolithic group. It's a collection of many different groups, and they are not always on the same page. George Allen did a very good job of uniting those Republicans and governing as the uniter and someone who had brought to power the Republican Party. Anyone, however, as George did, who intentionally mispronounces the name of the Democratic Party by calling it the Democrat Party, isn't really trying to reach out to the other side. And I think this election was decided by moderates in the middle and some people on both sides who were a little bit dissatisfied with the way one side ended up governing.
Yeah, and of course the Democrat Party, that's a Republican talking point now. You even hear Rush Limbaugh Democrat Party.
His audience loves it. And of course when George Allen is speaking to the Republican base, a lot of them like it, but it's grammatically incorrect.
Right. And
it's not the name of the party.
And people are smart enough to know what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's
appealing to his base, and he's sort of denigrating the other party.
Right, right. Bob Gibson, Charlottesville Daily Progress. And he actually, did you see any, in your article, your column yesterday, you went all the way back to when George Allen beat Delegate Jim Murray from Albemarle County. Have you seen any major changes in his tactics beginning, you know, in the strategy that George Allen used?
George is a very smart campaigner, despite this year's race. You know, he's a good campaigner. He's someone who campaigns usually on a fairly positive message, appealing to his base. It didn't work for him this time for a number of reasons, but he usually incorporates the various elements of the Republican Party base into his campaign message. I've seen him become more and more, you know, this year he started doing more, I thank God, and, you know, he's definitely reached out to the conservative Christians who form a large portion of the GOP base in Virginia and made them feel very much at home.
Yeah, very interesting. And but it didn't work this time, even though half of Virginia voted for the man. Well, you got a little bit more support for Jim Webb, and people who might have voted for George Allen previously didn't support him in this election.
Independents and moderates went the other way, and independents and moderates were not the ones who were being appealed to. George was running a base election again, and he got his base out, and he almost won. You know, 9,000 votes out of more than 2.3 million cast. He came very, very close to winning this election. So you can't count George Allen out for the future. I agree with what you and Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling were saying just before. He will come back, I think.
Right, right. Where do you see him coming back? Do you see him vying for the gubernatorial nomination in 09?
I think that's a possibility. I think going back to the Senate in 2008, if John Warner retires, as many people expect him to retire that year, may be a possibility. I think he could be taken in to a national level cabinet position.
I could see him being appointed attorney general, for example.
He is a very loyal player, and I think Republicans have not given up on him despite the fact that his presidential ambitions were pretty much dashed this year.
Yeah. And, you know, if he wanted to run for president again or for some national office, it's almost like everything's out there now. You know, now he's got all of this time to nurture his image and beef it back up and get back in a more favorable light with swing voters. And what else can anybody throw at him now that wasn't thrown at him in this race?
Well, I mean, you know, Virginia is changing, too, and I think he recognizes that. And I think if George Allen wants to come back as a statewide candidate, you will hear him referring more to the Democratic Party and less to the Democrat Party. Right. As someone who can reach out and try to appeal to people in the middle.
Yeah, because as we learned in this last election, it's all those folks in the middle that are going to decide here in Virginia.
This time. And a lot of times a base election where you turn out your base will win it for you as a Republican in Virginia. You know, Virginia is a purple state now, but a lot of downstate is very red.
Right, right. And all those folks in the middle like to see that reaching out.
They do.
I'm one of them. We like to see that bipartisanship. We like to see somebody step forward in not so much a strident partisan way, but somebody step forward and say, you know, I believe in the goal. Let's figure out a way we can get there, and I don't care whose idea it is. Let's just get to the goal.
We heard that a lot this year, and I think, you know, Webb benefited from that. Webb wasn't running as I'm a lefty. You know, Webb was running as someone who had been a Republican, had been estranged from the Republican Party because of Bush's handling of the war and of the Hurricane Katrina disaster. And I think there are a lot of people in the middle who really do benefit by, you know, candidates benefit by seeing someone reach out and not be strictly a base candidate.
Bob Gibson, political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress, in studio on Charlottesville right now. Phone lines are open if you want to comment on last week's election at 977-1070. Bob Gibson, political reporter of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Let's talk about the marriage amendment. What was so amazing was how close it was in Virginia, a place like Virginia where you would expect it to have passed by 70% at least.
57% is a fairly sizable win, and this thing is now won in, 25 or 26 states out of 27. You know, I think 57% is not as close as a number. Now, Charlottesville voted very, very heavily against the marriage amendment.
Yeah, 70, I think it was 70, 72%.
77, 77, 78%, yeah. Something in that range. And I think, you know, a lot of people around here had doubts about the wording of the second paragraph, the last two sentences of it. But I don't think everybody read that and paid full attention to it. I think a lot of voters just saw the first sentence and thought, I agree with that.
Right, right. I want to protect marriage.
Yeah.
Even though John Whitehead spoke on this program a couple of weeks ago that in his view, and I agree with him, that the greatest threat to marriage is not gays, it's divorce. And, you know, if politicians want to do something about protecting marriage, they need to put some public money towards marriage counseling and anti-divorce policies, but we didn't see that, and that doesn't really bring out the base.
Now, it was closer than the questions 2 and 3, which won with 65-66% of those in favor statewide. And those were fairly non-controversial. So as a base, you know, I think had they restricted the marriage amendment to the first sentence, it would have passed with 80%.
Yeah, yeah. And it didn't pass. I don't know how it was worded exactly, but a similar amendment did not pass in Arizona, which
right.
was very interesting.
Well, we knew eventually some state would get into the act and say, no, this is not needed in our Constitution. And it's a national issue that Republicans have tried to raise as a national constitutional amendment. So, you know, this isn't behind us. This debate is going to continue.
Yeah, it absolutely will. And I guess what was so surprising for me was to watch a very, very progressive and intelligent campaign against it, very well funded by the Commonwealth Coalition. That may be a reason that we didn't see such a high number supporting this, enough to pass, but not a 70 or 80 percentile support.
One of the ironies of it is that, you know, it was put on the ballot by Republicans, and they wanted it on the state ballot and in the state constitution. And it helped George Allen probably get out more of his base. But it was, to some extent, also a double-edged sword, because there were large numbers of black voters across Virginia who came out to vote for the marriage amendment and then turned around and voted for Jim Webb.
Yeah, and the numbers really do show that folks split their vote. They didn't just go in and vote for Allen and yes on the marriage amendment. They voted for the marriage amendment and then voted for Webb,
yeah,
which
George,
I don't think Republicans really expected.
Senator Allen was campaigning heavily for this in his last days. You know, his two big themes were Jim Webb's writings bad for women and marriage good. You know, man and a woman.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when George Allen stepped down last week, his concession speech, I thought, was probably one of the greatest demonstrations of leadership in the entire political season, certainly in his campaign. And I was sitting there watching it thinking, you know, the guy that I'm watching right now is not the same guy that greenlighted sending that stuff to the Drudge Report. It just seemed like a totally different character.
It was very gracious. And, you know, George, when he campaigns, is normally a very positive person who inspires people. And this year was abnormal for him. It was abnormal due to his own gaffes. It was abnormal because he was running for president at the same time he was running for re-election to the Senate, and that brought the national press in. That not only brought all these character questions to the fore, they got him on the national news, and they got him on the national comedy routines every night for a while. You know, it became a really nationalized character question race. Very abnormal.
What kind of a senator do you think we're going to see over the next 6 years in Jim Webb? Where do you think he's going to be welcomed in the armed services? Will he get that assignment, you think?
Or? Well, he's put in his requests, and he said over the weekend he wasn't sure, you know, what he would get, so he's deferring to, you know, see what he gets. But he really wants to be on the Veterans Affairs Committee. I think he'll get that without much problem. Whether he gets on armed services with John Warner, that would be nice to have two former Navy secretaries in the Senate and both serving on armed services. That would be very good for Virginia, I think.
But doubtful that
possible.
That they would put two senators from the same state.
No, it's still possible because of their unique backgrounds. I think it would be good for the nation to see that kind of cooperation as well.
Now, does Warner, as chair of that committee, have a lot of say if Webb gets in there? Because it would be nice to get a Virginian on that committee with some tenure before Warner steps down.
Carl Levin is, in effect, the new chair.
What am I thinking?
John's losing his chairmanship anyway at the end of this term. They're rotating chairmanships in the Senate. So the Democratic leadership will decide. And I think, you know, they may view him as enough of a credible character on the Iraq War that they may give him that assignment.
Yeah, well, that would be, gosh, anybody who knows anything about how the Senate works, that would be enormously positive for Virginia to get to keep a Virginian on that very influential committee.
Well, I think there's a good chance.
Let's turn our attention to the Senate and House here in Virginia. We have a session coming up, a short session. The odd year is usually short. It's supposed to be, 45 days? Supposed to be 30. They usually go 45, and there's some talk in Richmond of keeping it to 30 this year.
Well, that's going to be very hard to do. They have not shown themselves very able to limit themselves and to agree on things. So if one side proposes it, as Senator Chichester has initially proposed, going back to a 30-day as opposed to an extended 45-day short session, the other, you know, it takes a lot of cooperation, and we haven't seen a whole lot of cooperation among all the sides down there.
Yeah.
I just think it's against the nature of these guys to restrict themselves that much.
And, of course, next year is an election year in Virginia. Of course, every year is an election year in Virginia. But next year, all of those seats are up for grabs.
All 140. And that means that the Virginia Senate, all 40 seats, and the House of Delegates, all 100 seats, will be up. And it's going to be interesting. This year's election pointed out some problems that Republicans may have next year, because there are two different Republican parties, at least, in yeah. Virginia. And one of them is the Republican Party in Northern Virginia, or the majority of Republicans up there, and the other is the majority of the Republican Party, which is the downstate Republican Party, which is much more conservative. Republican voters in Northern Virginia tend to be more moderate. And without any achievements in the area of transportation to point to, it's going to be difficult for a lot of those Northern Virginia Republicans to run. I think the folks downstate have made the calculation that they think they're in safe enough position with redistricting to hold majorities, especially in the House. You know, the Senate, yeah. A shift of 3 seats might change things.
And we're going to see the Senate get attacked from the right, even probably in the primaries.
Initially, you know, senators like Emmett Hanger, who have voted with a majority in the Senate, are going to see a conservative challenge, and he's got a district that could be a problem.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us every Monday for a political discussion. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you next week and look forward to your work in the Daily Progress.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.